Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
I've had clients come in all the time who just sit there and say, well, aren't you just going to tell, I want what's fair. Aren't you going to tell me what that is? Just give me my fair share.
Yeah, like how are you supposed to know what that is? You know, yeah. Just mind read. You should know. Yeah. It's everything. That's what's fair. Yep.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Today's topic is avoiding disaster, divorce mediation do's and don'ts from top mediators. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So today we're very excited to be joining you live from the Southern California Mediation Association Family Mediation Institute in Santa Ana, California. We're here with a bunch of our mediation colleagues, some of the top mediators in California. And we're very excited to have you all here today. So thank you very much for joining us. We're going to be talking today. We thought, hey, you know, we've done shows on mediation before, but we've never had a room full of people who are family mediators. Usually when we do a show, we have one guest on or it's just Rebecca and I. So we thought we'd take advantage of the fact that we have you all here today to get some tips and talk about things that we all know as mediators can go wrong in mediation that can sort of take us off into the disaster realm. I think we've talked about those things in some of the workshops today. So Rebecca and I were going to review some of the what we'll call don'ts, the things that we have identified or seen people do in mediations, and then we're going to do that taking advantage of you all. We've gotten some tips from you, and we're going to go over those tips so that our listeners can hear what they shouldn't do, the don't, and then get from you all the do's, okay?
Okay. All right. So the first one that we have here is not pulling together financials or not being prepared. You know, one of the things that I've told my divorcing clients often is, you know, your attorney or whoever you're consulting, they have no idea what's going to be a fair settlement for you. And so when it comes time to go sign that marital settlement agreement, you're going to be saying to yourself, is this fair? And unless you've actually done the financial disclosures and done the preparation and actually know what's fair, you're not going to be able to answer that question. So that's definitely one of the don'ts, is don't fail to be prepared and have your financials ready to go.
Yeah, you know, I've always, that financial thing, I don't know if you all have found this with your clients with pulling together the financials, but I call it the ostrich syndrome, because you give them these lovely 80-page long forms that they have to fill out unless they're smart and using Hello Divorce. But they get those financial forms, it asks for all that data, and they just stick their head in the sand and don't want to deal with it, because nobody ever wants to sit down and look at their finances. So I always try at the beginning of a mediation to sort of explain to them why, not just because it's mandatory and they have to, but why it's so important, why it goes to what Rebecca was just saying, is, you know, you need to do that so that you have an understanding, a basis to then talk about what's fair, what works for you.
I think sometimes it's like, I mean, we have one right now that we're mediating where the husband just clearly doesn't want a divorce, and so he's just not doing it. It's not particularly helpful, but you know, you're just really putting off what's going to happen anyway. I mean, the courts are never going to make somebody stay married to somebody. So, you know, eventually it will happen. I mean, the court will end up making you do it. So it's just better to just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Well, and so the next don't that we identified, I think, kind of plays into it because, and I see this one all the time, where you have the people come in, they sit down for, say, a two-hour mediation session, you identify what I'll call homework that they need to do when they leave or things they're supposed to think about or review or they need to go get an appraisal, you send them off. And you then don't hear from them for months because they pay no attention to it, or they pop back in, but they've done no thinking about it. They come back in and they're like, oh yeah, what were we saying about that? Why were we talking about that? So failing, you know, and then they wonder why it takes them 15 sessions to get through their divorce mediation. And it's because you're having Groundhog Day. Every single time they walk back into your office, or your, like in my case, virtual office, you're going back over why it's important that they go get that appraisal, or why they need to, you know, consult with their consulting attorney on an issue. So that's another mistake that we've seen, I think, rather often, is not preparing in the beginning, but not doing what you're supposed to be doing all along in between sessions. I think they think that they come to the mediation session, they work there, and then they just go out and get through the day the rest of the time. And unfortunately, fortunately, they still have a lot of control. And that's what I try to explain to them is, you know, own your process, do what you need to do in between, because this is your life. It's not my life. I'm going to go home to my life. But you two are going to go on and live this. So do what you need to do in between sessions.
I think what happens sometimes with in between sessions is, we agreed to go ahead and get the house appraised. And then afterward, maybe one of the parties says, well, I don't like that appraiser. And so I'm just not going to do it, or something like that. Or I want to get my own appraiser. I think that one is biased or whatever it is. So they just end up not doing it at all sometimes. So one of the other things that we identified as a don't is to the people who fail to think about what it is that they actually want. So, you know, in preparing for negotiations, one of the things that I lecture about quite a lot is that you should definitely do your research, figure out what the things are appraising for. But part of the research is also coming up with your first offer. What is it that you actually want? I mean, it's not just I want alimony. I want as much as I need. It's what exactly do you need to live on? How much is it? What exactly do you want from your asset settlement? Do I want to keep the house? Do I not want to keep the house? If I want to keep the house, how much is it actually going to cost me? All of those things have to be thought about before you actually walk into a mediation.
Yeah, you know, that's actually something that I see all the time, and I actually do a lot of coaching around the topic. Somebody today called it strategy coaching, and I actually thought that was a pretty good name for it, because so many times in a mediation, or when I was doing litigation, I would see clients who would come through the door, and they would have no idea what they wanted in their new future, because that's what happens, right? They're going through divorce. The future now becomes sort of a big black abyss. It's not the future that they thought they were going to have with the white picket fence and the kids and the family. It's going to be different. And they're very focused on what they're losing, but very rarely have they sat down and thought about what they want that new future to look like. And without putting some thought into that, it can be very difficult, I think, for them to make agreements that are going to work for them. I've had so many times where, you know, I had one case where I had a lovely client. She was wonderful, and she was absolutely dead set. She had to have the house. It was super important to her. She was going to get that house, come hell or high water, and that it was a litigation case. It went right to the door of the courtroom, and she came in the day we were ready for trial. I had all my suitcases full of files. I had my little paralegals in a row behind me, and she came in and she goes, you know, and the house was the issue. He wanted it sold, and she walked up and she goes, you know, I sat down last night and looked at the numbers, and I really don't think I'll be able to afford the house, so why don't we just let it go? Well, we settled the case, but she unfortunately paid an awful lot of money. So that's a litigation case, but the same thing happens in mediation. I've had clients come in all the time who just sit there and say, well, aren't you just going to tell, I want what's fair. Aren't you going to tell me what that is? Just Give me my fair share.
Yeah, like how are you supposed to know what that is? You know, yeah. Just mind read. You should know. Yeah. It's everything. That's what's fair.
Yeah, well, that's probably another don't. Yeah. Don't think that you're going to get everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
or that's fair.
Yes.
But another...
Well, I deserve it.
There's always the I deserve it and... They should have to pay it.
That's right. It's a divorce law versus divorce justice. See our other episode on that.
Yeah. The people, I've always said the most expensive words in divorce are, it's the principle of the thing. Because if you're going to go to court and litigate the principle of the thing, God, I hope you have a lot of money and it doesn't matter to you because... You know, you're never going to get divorce justice. There's no justice in a divorce court. We all know that. It's a place where, you know, the law is going to be applied. Equity is, well, in Connecticut where I practice anyway, equity will come into it. Not so much here in California.
But, that's actually one of our other don'ts, by the way. Don't think that you're going to, like, go to court and the heavens are going to open up and the judge is going to go, oh, my God, you poor thing. What? You should have it all. I can't believe you've been dealing with this. Because I think that's what people think sometimes,
oh, sure.
Right, Susan?
The judge is going to listen to what I have to say and agree with me 100%.
They're going to see what a terrible person my spouse is. So that's what they think sometimes, and that's definitely a don't.
Yeah, no. And that, well, and along with those lines, some of it is just educating themselves on the don't fail to educate yourself. And we get that with clients again all the time. And, you know, we all understand we do divorce every single day. We're immersed in it. My husband says he lives in divorce land. I mean, all we have laying around is the ABA, you know, family law journal and every book on divorce, including Gabrielle Hartley's Better Apart, laying around my house.
And Rebecca.
And I was just going to say that. And Rebecca. Rebecca's book, Breaking Free.
Breaking Free.
Oh, it's got
a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom.
That's where I get lost, on the physical, emotional, and spiritual freedom. But yes. So,
not on a personal level, I'm
yeah.
sure.
But, you know, our clients don't live in that place. But what I think they fail to understand, and something that I try to educate them on, is that there are innumerable resources online where they can go and educate themselves. They can come in and we can sit down as mediators and spend their time doing that education better is an educated client, I always think. So I give them resources. I tell them where to go to Hello Divorce or to go, I have a website, Divorce in a Better Way, where I have curated resources. A lot of our podcasts, or a lot of why we do the podcast is to provide people with information. Rebecca has a fantastic downloadable program that really walks people through in amazing detail what a divorce looks like, what the law is, you know, in the general scope. She doesn't get into law, state-specific law. But there's a million resources out there in the world for people today, and instead they sort of just go back to the ostrich thing and come into mediation just with no idea of what they want, where they go, and what the process is about. And so they drag their process out. So I would say failing to educate. Don't fail to educate.
Absolutely. One of my favorite don'ts on here is don't trigger your spouse on purpose. Like, don't call them names. Don't say things that are obviously a dig, because we see that all the time. Well, you know, he's like a deadbeat and never pays for anything for the kids and doesn't want to see them anyway. Meanwhile, he's fighting for custody, so I don't really know what that's about. But, you know, we were joking before we even started taping here today. Like, you know, don't do things that are going to cause your spouse to lose their job or whatever, because, you know, there goes your alimony.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming in and calling them a loser or calling them names, it does happen, believe it or not, and that's definitely a big, huge don't.
Yeah, I actually always tell clients, because that always comes up in mediations, right? You get these two people in the same room, they start arguing about something, it's not going the way one of them wants in a discussion or negotiation, and they just jump right back to something that they know is going to push their spouse's button. They're just, because they know, who knows you better? who have you opened up and shown all your nice little weaknesses and foibles to than your spouse? And who's the first one who's going to come out and jab at that when you're in the middle of a divorce mediation? So, and that all that does in the mediation process is drags the two of them back into those old arguments, drags them back into what got them to the point where they're needing a divorce mediator, but it's not going to move them forward toward that future. So
you just resist the temptation, because I know a lot of times it's hard because, you know, you're sitting with somebody who may have cheated on you or may have done things that are, you know, obviously inflammatory and have made you angry. And so sometimes it's hard to restrain. But it just think about, in the long run, you want to get what you want to get. And from a negotiation point of view and a negotiation strategy, getting the other side to actually be incentivized to settle and want to settle and want to resolve the issue is really going to work out so much better for you than inflaming them. So
yeah, just going to drag you back down into the old stuff. And then, you know, there's the common courtesy stuff too. You know, there's the things, and I get this all the time, especially since I do online mediation. I am always having to remind people, you know, don't interrupt each other. Don't talk over each other. Don't fail to, you know, be just respectful, because those are the things that when people have that little bit of remoteness, because now we're talking to each other through the computer screen, don't start answering your text messages while you're in the middle of a divorce mediation. Or, you know, I can tell, I can see people, and we're in the middle of the mediation, and I can see them, or I can hear their keyboard tapping away because they're Googling something or doing something like that. So, you know, just fail to use your common courtesy as you're going through the divorce process in the mediation.
Speaking of common courtesy, don't bring your new significant other to the mediation.
To the divorce mediation.
I've seen that happen. It's not good.
No, well, the worst one was where I was doing an online mediation, which, you know, everybody's in front of their laptop, and we went through the whole session, and then a couple of days later, the wife in that case had some sort of incident with the new girlfriend, and it turned out the new girlfriend had been sitting in the room on the other side of the computer during the divorce mediation session and completely violated the privacy and all of the conditions of the online mediation that we have. But it, you know, those people, by the way, did not finish in divorce mediation. They finished up in a courtroom in a really nasty divorce. So yeah, the advent of the new significant other in a divorce mediation would definitely be a don't.
Well, plus, like, the new girlfriend's like, oh, you're giving your wife that? Why are you giving her so much? You know, it doesn't really help the situation.
No. So it's your, I mean, for our listeners, it's your divorce. You know, you're the two who should be making the decisions. We've done shows on, you know, the interference that you can get from, we called it, you know, the family.
Heavy metal.
That was it.
M-E-D-D-L-E.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on mediation do's and don'ts. Tips from top divorce mediators.
What I find a lot of people doing is all day long, they are arguing about why they're right, why the judge is going to agree with them, why the law is on their side, why everything they're saying is correct. And that is for every other day in the litigation, that's what it's for. On the days of mediation, it's the one time that all we talk about is compromise.
We're going to take a quick break now to talk about our newest sponsor, Hello Divorce. Divorce is hard enough on its own. You're thrown into the legal system. You have no idea what you're doing. Hello Divorce understands that, and they offer an affordable, convenient online option for Californians. Easy form preparation, instant access to legal information, loads of articles, affordable, convenient, and low-stress divorce.
One of the things I love the most about Hello Divorce is the sheer number of options that it gives you. When you sign up for your free account, you get access to their curated library of tools and resources, and you also get a 15-minute free personalized divorce strategy session. They have a do-it-yourself option for divorce, but they also have an option that gives you your own legal document assistant who will handle your entire divorce start to finish for you. You can even hire the a la carte services of an attorney. Just to make sure you're on track, without having to pay an expensive retainer, you can purchase increments of time in as little as 30 minutes. So find out more at HelloDivorce.com and be sure to let them know you heard about it at Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
Are you struggling with how to manage and handle a high conflict personality? Do you feel like everything you do is futile or that your words are constantly being twisted? Breaking Free Mediation and Coaching is now offering a brand new coaching program called Coaching Through Conflict, how to successfully manage high conflict personalities. If you're dealing with a narcissist, a bipolar personality, or someone who's just simply overly difficult, this program is an absolute must. If you are ready to finally break free of this cycle of abuse and conflict, email us at bfmediation@gmail.com so that you can get started today. That's B as in boy, F as in Frank, mediation@gmail.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including relocation, how to move away with your kids in divorce.
Family law attorneys, judges, we all kind of shudder when we hear it's a relocation case, and that's because there's no easy solution.
Yeah, this is not one of those where you can just split the difference or there's some gray area where in negotiation you can go, well, you're, you know, $200 apart, let's just go $100 each. And, you know, I mean, it's either the child is living near you or the child is living far away from you.
And now we return to today's show.
So those are the don'ts, the don't do these things in divorce mediation that we've seen people do. But like I said in the beginning, we have a bunch of great tips because we are here in a room full of some top mediators. So we've had some of our colleagues here give us some of their top tips. So I'm going to call some of you up. Gabrielle Hartley, our friend and author.
Our diehard listener fans will recognize Gabrielle because we collaborated with her on By Divorce. The big, huge event that we just finished producing in Los Angeles, and she's also been a guest on our show.
The only guest we've had twice.
This is true.
Here we go.
Thank you. So my advice is to listen intently to what your spouse is asking for.
What do you mean by that?
So pay attention to what your spouse wants. Don't assume that you're going to have an argument. It may be that your interest and your spouse's interest are actually not contradicting each other, and you might have a resolution sitting right there in front of you that you're not seeing because you're so busy worrying about the argument that's about to happen.
You know, that's a really good point. And one of the things that I say when I speak on negotiation skills is I talk about how in every negotiation, what's really happening, and this is true for if it's kids negotiating for baseball cards on a baseball field or the highest level of negotiating in Dubai or whatever, and that is that both parties want to be seen. They want to be validated. They want to know that they matter. And so what Gabrielle's point was is very, very well taken because, you know, sometimes what the other side wants is just to be acknowledged, you know, just that they were heard. And they oftentimes what brought them to divorce court in the first place is they haven't felt heard. So I like that point, Gabrielle. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, the word that jumped out at me to me in what Gabrielle said was listen intently. Two words. Because so often, there's two things in that. So often, people listen solely for the purpose of answering, and I see that in mediations all the time, where one spouse will get out a few words into that sentence about what they're talking about, and you can just see the other person's mind. They already have their answer. They know where they're going with this because they know where you're going with it, and they already have their answer ready, and they stop actually hearing what the other person is saying so often. And so then they'll pop out with what they need to say. And how many times do we as mediators then need to say, well, you know, Mary, that's not what I heard John saying. John, is that what you meant? Or, you know, Mary, is that what you heard John say? But you have to sort of try to bring it to the forefront that the two of them are having a different conversation. So listening intently and actually listening is also a key point.
Absolutely. I had a case one time where I was mediating and I was representing the husband, and the wife, all she wanted was the husband to say he was sorry. And he didn't want to do it. And I was sitting there with him, and I thought, how much alimony do you want to pay, buddy? She's saying that she'll waive alimony if you say sorry. So get your little behind over another room and say sorry. It's not that big of a deal. Just do it. So our next one is Kathleen Coble.
Kathleen is a family law attorney and mediator from Austin, Texas. She's a member of the International Academy of Matrimonial Attorneys and the American Academy of Matrimonial Attorneys. So, hi, Kathleen.
Hello. Thank you very much. So, my tip is about the parties, and of course, in Texas, we have the lawyers in mediation as well. Your demeanor throughout mediation. What I find a lot of people doing is all day long, they are arguing about why they're right, why the judge is going to agree with them, why the law is on their side, why everything they're saying is correct. And that is for every other day in the litigation, that's what it's for. Every other day, you can do that. And that's what we do. But on the day or days of mediation, in Texas it's one day, on the days of mediation, it's the one time that all we talk about is compromise. And how, what options do we have? What people a lot of times want to talk about in mediation is options that they don't have, that options that they want, right, but that are not available to them in settlement. And so I ask the parties and the attorneys to keep their settlement hats on all day, to focus on compromise for that one day. If we can't get it done, we can't get it done, but at least we've done everything we can.
Oh, I think I love the settlement hat idea. I'd actually like to just put a little hat on both of them as they walk into the room with a little settlement hat on it. Because, you know, and I think that's the tougher type of mediation, actually, for a family mediation. Because now you have a couple who's actually been in that litigation process and kind of have been, you know, in that adversarial process, and in this one day in Texas or in Connecticut, we did the same thing, where almost at trial door, we would bring everybody in for that marathon session of trying to settle it. And one of the biggest difficulties was trying to get everybody out of the adversarial, I'm not going to give up my position mindset, and get them to, there's a way that we can come up with something that works for both of us. And so that could take, right, Kathleen, that could take the first half of the day or all day in some cases.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I always say to remember that your best day is the other side's worst day. So they're not going to settle for that. Nobody's going to settle for their worst day.
Well, and that, I always remind them, there's no agreement until you both agree. So you can sit there and you can have your principle, or you can say, I'm not going to do it until I've put something reasonable on the table. They have to take it. Like, no, they don't. They don't have to take it until they take it. And until they take it, there's
good.
No agreement.
Yeah, that's another good don't, the absolute. They're taking this or I'm out of here. or I'm done.
We're going to court.
Yeah.
That's another don't, right?
Yeah.
How many often do you hear that in a mediation where one of the spouses just uses that, well, then we'll just go to court
as a
battering ram.
Yeah. If we're not settled by 11 a.m., I'm out of here.
I'm calling my lawyer. So our next top tip would be from friend and colleague Ann Sawyer. Ann is currently the executive director of the Southern California Mediation Association, soon to be going out and establishing her own practice.
So I have a couple things I do with my clients right off the bat before I get them into a room. One is their mindset. I think it's super important to get them of the mindset that you're not going in to win. This isn't a war. This is a process, and it's a collaborative process. And if you go in to win, you're going to feel like you lost. And really, it isn't a win-lose situation. You're already losing because you're going through a divorce. So it's very, very important, I think, to get their mindset, go in, try to collaborate. I have them make a list of the things that are really important to them, and then I have them make a list of things that they may be negotiable on so that they know where they have room to be involved in that collaborative process.
That's great. It kind of builds on what we were talking about with Kathleen, is that mindset is sort of the key to everything. I've always sort of said to clients that although it may feel like a loss, the beauty of mediation is that you get to pick and choose what you can and cannot live with. And we can sit down in the process and try to you know, craft a way that you're at least both getting as much of what you want as possible. And trust me, that's not what a judge is going to sit down in a courtroom to do. And, you know, I'm reminding them of that pretty much the entire way through the process, because somebody used the phrase the third solution. And I loved that. It was a podcast that I was on recently, and the host used that. Like, aren't you always looking not for the win, not for the loss, but the third solution, which is as much of a win-win as you can get. So prepping them with that mindset at the beginning is something that I've always found to be helpful.
Absolutely. So the next person I want to call up is Aaron Levine from Hello Divorce.
Aaron has recently been on the show as well, Do It Yourself Divorce.
Yeah, it's one of our most popular episodes.
It is. She's just about to crush the top 10.
I personally think that she is one of the most brilliant, amazing, creative people I've ever met. So,
yeah, if you haven't caught it, we're kind of high on Hello Divorce.
Okay, a couple things. Number one is mediation doesn't always resolve in one session. So self-care is key. Mediation can be a really grueling process, and you got to take care of yourself. The second is kind of building off what we were just talking about, which is that you have to give to get. So as Anne said, determine your non-negotiables. What are you willing to give up so that you can get something else? Will the car that both of you want really matter in 5 years? Probably not if you're not going to get the opportunity to see your son's soccer games. So give to get, remember that. And then finally, I hope you're going to let me do one quick other one, which is choose your consulting lawyer wisely. So if you are going to a lawyer outside of the mediation process and to get some extra help, that's awesome, that's amazing, that can help with your strategy, but it's got to be someone who is used to and understands the mediation process and is going to help you come to settlement, not break down negotiations and end up in litigation.
Oh, that one's so important, because we run into that. Well, I'm sure we've all run into that, right? Where you're doing, you know, God's work in getting this couple to a place where they're coming to agreements, and then someone goes off to their hardcore litigation attorney and comes back with the, I'm not getting what I should be getting, and you just go back to either ground zero, or more often they just jump out to counsel. So I always recommend, you know, I know Rebecca and I at Breaking Free Mediation, we have a vetted list of professionals, both consulting attorneys, CDFAs, mental health professionals, coaches of all different kinds, really all different kinds.
Mediators.
Mediators that we can recommend to our clients so that they go to people that, a colleague once used this phrase, that are respectful of the hard work that you have to put in to be successful in mediation. So I think that that's a key factor for people to know as they go into the mediation process. One, you can have an attorney. That kind of blows their mind sometimes. But be one who's respectful of the hard work you're going to do in mediation.
We have a couple of more here that are good ones that mediators submitted ahead of time. This one is from a mediator named Sean Weber. And he says, fair is the F word. Instead of insisting on fair, look for a good business decision that you can live with, which I think is kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, divorce law versus divorce justice. Like, you know, everybody has their own definition of what's fair, you know, but looking at it in terms of what the law would provide, there's always going to be a realm of reasonableness under the law. So, I mean, even, you know, under the law, yes, there's a realm, but there's still going to be a best case scenario and a worst case scenario. In other words, you're not getting permanent alimony on a 1-year marriage when you both work the whole time. That's not reasonable.
Right. Well, and I always warn clients that, you know, fair is not a clearly defined black and white term as to what's fair in your case. They always walk in and they think you're going to tell them what, you know, all I want is what's fair. You tell us what it is and that's what we get. And they also don't seem to realize, although you would think they would after having been married to that person for so long, that what they think is fair may not necessarily be what their spouse thinks is fair. And it's almost like a complete
it usually
and
is
utter
not.
Shock. Exactly. And it's usually a complete and utter shock when they say, well, I offered what a very generous offer. Because there's always that client, right, who walks through the door with the Excel spreadsheet that's already got everything divided up for the very first session. And it's like, well, I'm not giving them half, but here's why. And that's why it's fair.
By right? the way, I want to mention something about the consulting attorney piece of it, too. There's this myth out there that you want your spouse to have like a terrible attorney. So people go and they try to consult with every attorney in town so that they conflict off the attorneys that they think are good. You actually want your spouse to have an attorney or a consulting attorney that does know what they're doing, because then that attorney can counsel them on what the law provides and what is actually fair.
Yeah, no, that's actually a key point. So one of the other tips that we got, and I loved this one, I think it's really valuable information for people who are in a mediation process. So it was from Sean Skillen, who presented this morning with Sean Weber. And Sean said, if you aren't sure if you like a proposal made by your partner, answer, I need to think about it. It's a fair answer. Don't be constrained by yes or no. And I think that's so important for people to understand that as they sit in the mediation process, it's not that they have to make an immediate decision right then. And often, if they do, it might be the wrong one. And that's harmful to the process. If you accept an offer that's been put on the table without proper thought or without making sure that's going to work for you or work in the entire scheme of your settlement and then renege on it or pull back from it, it actually can harm the process because now you've ticked off the other side because they put something on the table and you said yes. And now you want to say no. And vice versa, you may say no, and it might be something that with some thought or with trying to move other pieces of your financial puzzle or your parenting puzzle around, it might actually work for you. So it's a very fair response to say, I need to think about it. I need to see, or let's, you know, I agree in theory, or I agree to parts of that, but let's think about it or table it while we're working out the other issues. So I thought that was a fantastic one.
Yeah. So we are actually just about out of time. There's just a couple like that I just want to throw in. And one is to start with areas that you agree on, because that really, really helps with the momentum. And the last one, these are all from when I actually speak on negotiation skills in general, not just divorce, but the last one is to make sure that you get any agreements in writing of some sort, because people always end up changing their mind. They always end up getting that Monday morning quarterbacking, or they go talk to people and they go, oh my God, I can't believe you agreed to that. And then they change their mind. So get agreements in writing.
Yeah, and I think that's a very valid point if you get them in writing. And then I always, you know, want clients to think about the integrity of their agreements. And this is something that I know Rebecca knows as well. So something has gone wrong in the relationship that has brought the clients to the table there. And so there's been a breakdown. I always call it a failure of integrity, right? Someone that Rebecca and I know uses the analogy of a wheel with spokes, and some of those spokes have broken, and that relationship is folded in like that wheel will. And at the time of this new phase in their relationship, they're going forward, these making of a new agreements, they actually have an opportunity to reestablish their integrity with each other, even if it's not going to be in the same way, so that they need to make agreements that they can keep, that they can follow through on, that they can say, yes, I failed you in some way in the past. I failed to keep an agreement. Someone described it to me once as the agreement they failed to keep was the marriage agreement. They had agreed to be together forever and they no longer could keep that agreement. But you can still reestablish some integrity by making agreements that you know you can keep. The worst thing you can do is make an agreement that you fail to keep again, because now you're just going to take that relationship. And those are the people who eventually end up in litigation or at least back in mediation over and over again.
I was just going to make a joke. Some people fail at the monogamy agreement.
Yeah.
But many, many do. Well, thank you all so much for being here and being part of our second live podcast. It's such a different energy for us. So we really, really appreciate you being here, and thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.